The question today is, should a Christian bear arms? Yesterday, when this is part two, of course, but yesterday we talked about how that our government is trying to enter in and destroy, take away all the rights of the church. God instituted government. He instituted church. They misuse Romans 2:13, which says that government is supposed to punish those who do evil and do good to those who praise those who do good. But yet and still, what's happening today, the government is doing almost exact opposite of that. And so we looked at something and gave an Old Testament example of Uzziah going into the temple, and when he didn't have the authority to do so, and he had leprosy, he wound up being leprous unto the day of his death as he was cast out of the temple. He was of the tribe of Judah, only the tribe of Levi, with Aaron's descendants on top of that, could enter into the temple and offer the sacrifices and so forth. But we also begin to look at the New Testament example of how that Peter and them were preaching, and they were put in prison, a common prison, and an angel opened the door and told them to go back out and preach the words of life, to go on and keep a preaching. And so the Sanhedrin court, which was the government from Rome, had allowed the Sanhedrin court to take care of Jewish affairs in the Jewish area. And so they were thought they were the government in one sense of the word. And they came, and as they came, of course, they came to arrest Jesus in the garden. And at any rate, what happened was they told Peter and them not to do it, first of all, in Acts chapter 5 again. But he said, it's better to obey God than man. Now, anytime you obey God, you obey what the Bible says the government should be doing. But we're living in that day when the government is moving in the area they should not be. Uzziah did, and in the New Testament, there the Sanhedrin did. But Jesus had already told them in the upper room and about the fact is in chapter 22 we read yesterday, and maybe you didn't get all of that, but in Luke chapter 22, verse number 47, we find that while he yet spake in the garden, he behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. He was betraying Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus said unto Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they that were about with him saw what would follow, meaning the disciples, Peter especially, said one of them smote the servant, asked first of all, should we smite him? And one of them took out a sword and smote the high priest and cut off his right ear. Now Jesus had already told Peter what he was going to face. In verse 31, he said, Peter, Lord, and that was there in the upper room possibly, but he said to Peter, called him Simon by his old name, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto them, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice deny that thou knowest me. Well, the thing about it is, Peter was aiming to take off the man's head, but he said, I'll die with you. And he thought that's what he needed to do. He took a swing with his sword. Now, the Bible says this in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 51. He says this, and behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. That's Peter. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword unto his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. So what happens is he's saying here, and this is what people use, what Jesus said here, and they say, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And in essence, with us today, we could say, if you live with a gun, you'll die with the gun. But they substitute gun instead of the sword. Well, they do not quote what Jesus also said that same night in the upper room before the garden experience in Luke 22. For instance, we know that the Lord said here, as we think about that, that they don't want to quote that. Now, he gave instructions to his disciples, and he was warning them of a coming conflict. I was with you for a time, and when I'm with you, you didn't need anybody to protect you, but I'm going to leave. I'm going to go back to the right hand of my Father, and you're going to be alone. You're going to need some protection. But this is the words that he said in Luke 22, verse number 35 and 36. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse or scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said nothing. In other words, he ordained the 12 and sent them out. And that word purse means a money bag. And the word scrip means an earthen sack to carry provisions in. It doesn't mean notes about preaching, but some people want to use that for. But he said, you didn't lack anything when I sent you out. Then he said unto them, but now, and I'm fixing to leave, in other words, but he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell this garment and buy one. His garment and buy one. Now, as we think about that, he said, if you don't have a sword, you need to sell your garment and buy one. The sword he's talking about here is a small sword or a large knife. We might even refer to it sometime. It's a weapon that was used for protecting themselves or making an attack or repelling an attack if they needed be. And he said, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Now, that's very important. And the groups in America today who said you don't need to be, you live by the sword or by the gun, you're going to die by the gun. They won't use this quote that Jesus said there in that upper room. So he said, sell your garment and buy one. Now, that may not mean much to us because we've got a lot of coats a lot of time, but the garment Jesus referred to was called a hematon. Now, I may not pronounce that right, but that's the Greek for it, for the word for garment. But it was the most expensive and important garment a man owned in that day. The average person would have only one of those garments, if you please, only one. And in fact, the business, as we think about it, and go back to the Old Testament time, we'll find that covering was used at night to protect them from the elements out when they was out in wherever they might be. They had that covering like a quilt or a cover, we could say. And so they spoken of in Exodus chapter 22, verse 25 through 27. He said, if thou lend money to any man, any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an user. Don't charge interest against it in the old, as a Jew would not to do. Neither shalt thou lay upon him usury interest. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, in other words, you won't lend him money, you say, give me your raiment for pledge. Give me your hematon for a pledge, your outer garment. Thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. You're not to keep his pledge to pay you back overnight, because that's the only protection he's got from the night air. And the night air in that area, it gets pretty cool at night, hot in the daytime and cool at night. And they needed that garment, that hematon. And Jesus now tells them, as he's about to leave off the earth and going to be crucified, he tells them, if you don't have a sword, go and buy a sword, in other words. Yeah, and buy a sword because so the Lord himself said you need to have a sword for protection is what it amounts to. And in other words, and this command that Jesus said, made in the upper room to sell that garment and buy that sword, was a command of a very high priority for his disciples because of the hematon was needed for them to keep warm at night. Now, why did Jesus command them to buy a sword? Was he raised in an army? No, he wasn't raised in an army because he told John here in the book of John chapter number, or told Pilate in the book of John chapter 18 verse number 36 as he's talking to Pilate at his trial even the next day, next morning after he told the disciples to buy a sword. But Jesus answered Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So his disciples was not supposed to fight that he not be delivered, but Peter, acting very quickly, he took off the servant's ear, and Jesus, of course, Luke recorded the fact that he healed his ear and put it back in place at that time. You see, his idea that he told the disciples to buy a sword, it was not to raise an army, but he did instruct them to buy a sword. Now, the answer is that Jesus commanded them to fulfill their God-given duty and right of self-defense. He had warned them and that danger and persecution, awaited them as they proclaimed the gospel to the ends of the earth. His command in the upper room that night was that to buy a sword, that they should prepare to defend themselves against murderers and thieves who would seek their death. The God-given right of self-defense is rooted in the sixth commandment. Exodus 20:13 said, "Thou shalt not kill." And Jesus quotes that commandment in a different way that a lot of people don't understand. But he said in Matthew, as the rich young ruler had come in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 18, Matthew 19, verse number 18, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and wanted to know what to do, needed to do to be saved, Jesus told him to keep the commandments, and he said, "Which?" And Jesus said in verse 19 of chapter 19 of Matthew, "Thou shalt do no murder." That's the interpretation of "thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not do any murder, in other words. And he quoted that to the rich man. But now God had already established the penalty for violating this commandment. If a man committed murder, he said to Noah after Noah got off the ark in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6, he said, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." In other words, when he instituted government, he told Noah that we establish capital punishment. If a man murders somebody, he's guilty, then he needs to be punished himself. Death penalty needs to come up on him. Because he's created in the image of God. That means Adam was created in the image of God. He's far ahead of any of the creatures that God created. And so the reason for giving this death penalty is that the dignity of man, there's no evolution involved in any of God's creation. Now, man after Adam was created in the image of Adam, and he needed to be born again to be placed back in the image of God, which is a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But some people are concerned more over their dogs than they are over the souls of men. In other words, therefore we have a God-given right, even a duty, to defend ourselves and our family against anyone attempting to take our life unjustly. And also, our U.S. Constitution and the Second Amendment gives us a right to bear arms. So we see that Old Testament. We're going to look next time at the Old Testament application of that. But the question is, does Christians have a right to bear arms? It's their God-given right. It's America-given right. And it's your duty and responsibility to protect your family. Yes, it's right for a Christian to bear arms. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.